lines with Mr. Ed Orser regarding a service in World War II. My name is Crispin Gulling Smith. This interview is being conducted at Mr. Orser's home on April 11th, 2005. And
I guess kids predominantly going to school and working on a ranch that my dad had for weekends, and after I was to it, we dealt in extracurricular activity as far as the school was concerned, because I did have this responsibility at home which interfered, and I liked it better. Anyway,
so
by and large that's true, yes.
Mm-hmm. In school?
Well, I was in school, however, I'll have to say that the last 3 months of my senior year, I worked on the railroad at the roundhouse in Livingston, just so I'd have some extra spending money,
mm-hmm.
Particularly in regard to pictures and all that stuff that goes with graduation, which we had just, I think if you're familiar with that aspect of history, we had just came out of a bad depression,
mm-hmm.
and the price was money. We were getting real well, and I'll have to say I never went hungry. No, I didn't get married. I didn't even. Girls were the first thing in my mind. In the first place, they were too expensive.
some of them were.
In the second place, I just was not oriented to be married. Well, the only thing that I can tell you is that I was raised basically in a Republican clan that was leaned heavily towards the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's name was Hoover, if that means, that'll give you a clue.
Right.
And she came from Virginia. She was her family line, political families. And she was brought up that way, and her feelings were that way. And I'd be interested in a little trivia in that regard. The first two calves that they had when we were little, when they went into the ranching business, there was a heifer and a bull calf, and they named them Franklin and Eleanor.
So were your politics similar to your family?
Well, I really didn't give politics a good thought, but I did. I was thoroughly convinced that Roosevelt was not my kind of a guy. And he was, just because of what I'd read and what I'd heard and what my folks had explained to me. Later, this proved to cause me some difficulty when I was in the service, because I still, at all, didn't think that much. I had concerns with getting to school, probably, and doing a railroad job, but that was really a school at 4, before 4, go to work at 4 and get off at midnight. So get up in the morning.
What's your family's perception regarding?
They actually, I'll have to give you a little bit of another. My mother had gotten cancer about the time World War II started, and she was very ill. She died 4 days after Pearl Harbor. So as far as she was concerned, there wasn't a lot of talk about the war. It was her primary concern. There was three of us. My father was concerned. He felt strongly, been in World War I, and he felt this obligation. Oh, to some degree, even though it was entirely different. He was in the Air Force, and I volunteered and studied to go into the Air Force, but I couldn't qualify because of my eyesight. And so I ended up being where I told everybody was the low-flying Air Force. I walked.
Well, what were your perceptions of the war and the combatants prior to the U.S. entering?
Well, there again, we didn't have a lot of exposure back in those years, TV was non-existent, as you know. The only thing we saw, basically, in the way of pictures was, which you compare to TV today, was in the newsreels at the theater. And I listened to the radio, and it was a foregone conclusion, as far as I was concerned, that Hitler was a bad guy. And Pearl Harbor came along, and of course we didn't know a whole lot about the Japs, except that we, I'm feeling or what, but that was when, at the tender age of 17, or which that war over there was concerned, you know, messages has to do with isolated feeling that that's exactly the way. So the only, as far as Japan was concerned, if we're talking about prior to the war, prior to going into the
service,
I wasn't, again, all that surprised that the Japs did what they did, because I just had a feeling that we were being led down. Roosevelt was playing their game.
Let's try it.
Anyway, going on with what we were talking about, the Japanese, you know, were over here trying to convince Roosevelt that they wanted to talk peace, and he was playing their game, like I said. And in the meantime, they were getting ready to bomb hell out of us, and not really aware of that. And that was the fact that Stalin bamboozled him. Wasn't really out of what degree until after we went in the war in Europe and found out that he'd given damn near everything to the Russians.
Yeah.
That was my feeling. Okay. I think every child has that. If he's got a relationship with his parents, and then my grandmother was a strong. Well, I was very close to my grandmother on my father's side. She was a full-blown German. Her parents came from Germany. And she basically didn't like the Englishmen. But she had to admit that Hitler was a bummer. And she said that, and it's proved to be true in our teachings today, that Hitler really didn't represent the basic German population. Well, I don't remember exactly. I mean, the time being, it's a relative time. I was going to school here in Billings at that heard on the radio. Everybody was aware of it, that's for sure. How it happened. I mean, specifically, the initial response was try to figure out what it means, what it meant to me. At that point in time, I was only 15 years old. Primary concern was my mother. Part of the fact that this war thing was... Well, there again, our primary... we were so concerned about my mother, the whole family, that other than the fact that... I think the community response in general was just exactly that. Kill them all, you can get away with it. I thought it was just another crazy mixed up woman. She was the only one, and that'd tell you a little bit.
And how did you get
there? Well, it was, had to happen. I was draft age, and so there's nothing to do but join up.
So you enlisted?
And as I say, I volunteered for the Air Force, and then when I that was right. Well, I was still in high school at that point in time. But then when I found that I couldn't qualify, I just figured I'd ride it out, because my dad needed... And if you, in history, you'll realize too that most all of the young guys were gone. I was one of the last ones to go because of my age. And so consequently, the whole community was basically hard up for help. That is, farming and ranching. I just decided, well, I'll ride this thing out as far as I can, so I waited to be drafted then, thinking that as much time as I could. Well, like I say, I had resigned myself to the fact that it was going to happen. And as far as feeling, it was kind of an anticlimax when I got a letter from President Roosevelt says, greetings.
Expectations or?
Well, the expectations, I didn't have any. Because I didn't know exactly where I was going to end up. And because I'd resigned myself to just let nature take its course. And as far as expectations, I had listened to my dad talk about his experiences, of course, and I realized his were entire. Not just how much that was later, after I got in the service, I found out how the Air Force guys got all the good stuff, what was left. Well, my brother volunteered, and when I left, he couldn't stand it, so he volunteered, and he went into Merchant Marine. But then my uncle volunteered, but that's the only immediate family members. Well, I did have another uncle that was a career Army guy. He'd been in all the time, so I didn't even count him.
Family and friends' reactions.
Well, I think that everybody felt this the same way I did. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You just will accept it. I went to Little Rock, Arkansas, and thankfully Clinton wasn't alive then, probably, but at any rate, I was down there for 6 weeks. Well, basically, there again, the only thing that I had to go by was what we see on seen on newsreels and such, just about that way. I'm in a barracks with a bunch of guys that I didn't hardly know. Well, of course, we got acquainted real quick, but that's what I expected. Military, I was well aware of the military setup, structure, so to speak, as far as rank goes and all that. I knew that I was, well, not directly, no. We had to listen to the radio by and large, I guess, in the evening or whatever. The newspaper had access to, and that dealt with the basics. Mm-hmm. About like night and day. We're here. It's literally, in basic training, it's just a whole lot like being in prison. You gotta get permission if you're gonna leave, or even to leave. There's nothing to do when you get there, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we were paid, but it was so such a minor amount that, and I had made up my mind that I was gonna try to save as much as I could, so I just didn't leave camp. Much different, of course, because we were used to it. Like any kid, I guess, when he first leaves home, he had been basically independent because of the fact that I lost my mother. I wasn't used to small things when you go to the Army, too. And I mean, if you don't do it yourself, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Well, we wrote back and forth a little bit, any telephone. I suppose a weekly letter or something. Well, I guess the uppermost thing in my mind was, and I got to tell you a little bit of trivia in this regard too. I was raised initially on the Indian Reservation, the Crow Reservation, where we moved to Livingston, where I ended up. And the Indians have a way of coping with life, I guess, in the sense that they make a game out of it. Mm-hmm. If you climb, it's fun. Otherwise, it might be boring or whatever. And so that was my whole philosophy while I was in basic training. I tried to make the best of a bad situation in the sense that we had fun whenever one way or the other. We played games whenever we could. We manufactured games. And the other thing that I guess I was a little bit unaccustomed to the fact that we had lots of food, but nothing that's really edible. The only thing that was really good that we had never had at home was fresh fruit. Mm-hmm. The way I analyzed this at the time and since was we were relatively close to Florida, being down there in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Produce, they did run out of their ears. We had grapefruit, oranges, out of delicacies here. Mm-hmm. But we had them every day, all day long, if we wanted to. I guess the thing that I really liked the most was the rifle range and the training that we got in regard to weaponry. And then I also enjoyed the physical calisthenics and such as that. I really enjoyed running and all that. We made a game out of that to see who could make a race. Mm-hmm. We weren't supposed to do that, but we did. We were supposed to just run, but we see who could be the fastest. Well, the thing I liked the least was being away from home. And I couldn't wait to get back home. Then after I ended up going over to the Philippines for 2 years, I really felt strongly about getting back home. Because I'd like to see these mountains. Mm-hmm. Really did. There. Whatever. Well, we played baseball. We played. We did have access to a camp theater where they'd show movies if we wanted to go and some rinky-dink talent shows and things like that. That was about the size of it. We were so darn busy. I just. Spend a lot of time in bed, get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and crash at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. When nighttime came to, because we'd been working all day, and that is active all day.
What was it like meeting other people from around the country?
Well, it was interesting. I had my eyes opened because being from Montana, I'd never seen anybody from else except relatives from. We had some relatives from Illinois. That was where my mother was originally from. But I got back, and when I got to Arkansas, I got exposed to a bunch of Easterners, and I couldn't believe how squeezed. Most of them couldn't drive a car. I couldn't remember when I couldn't drive a car. That's just one part of it. They were pretty dumb otherwise. They didn't know what a trigger was on a gun. Our instructors told us, those of us that thought we knew so much, to forget it. They wanted us to learn their way. Mm-hmm. But I didn't. Oh, no, not really. Everybody was regimented to the extent that there was no such thing as personal animosity unless there was somebody that was mean, and we didn't have any of those in our outfit. Everybody was in the same boat, so to speak, and just make the best of it. And so we didn't have any. Well, only in the sense, like I say, that I always thought that I was, I didn't think that I was anything special. And one of the guys from Brooklyn one day, there was a bird singing quack. Look at that boy chirp. I said, that's not a bird. That's not a boy, that's a bird. He says it chirps like Boyd. That's the kind of people I had to come to terms with.
How do you feel basic training prepared you for?
Well, quite well from the standpoint of weaponry. Otherwise, my physical side of it was totally good. As far as the mental thing was concerned, they had to cram a lot of basic stuff in. I guess I want to go back and recollect how it would be on a daily routine. We get up in the morning and reveille was when everybody got up, Mm-hmm. And then we'd all rush to the train and get that out of the way so you could get to the mess hall to eat breakfast. And then every day on the bulletin board, they had the the activities listed for the day. Mm-hmm. So you just look at the list and see where you were supposed to be at a given time, and better be there. And basically classes of various kinds of, they went into the military, I guess you might say, a lot of times spent on the way. And we would, later, after we had learned the basics in regard to the weaponry and all, we'd go out on the range and practice marches, basically part of the physical training. Mm-hmm. Well, my expectations were iffy, because we didn't know where we were going, for sure. It just so happened that in the really well established, in my mind anyway, that I wouldn't be going to Europe, because Europe was winding down. The war in Europe was winding down to the point where it was just about preordained that it was going to be over. So that meant left, you know, no alternative except the Japanese. Mm-hmm. And so then when I got my orders, hello, Peg.
Hello, hi.
This is our daughter, Peg, Carrie's mother. This is Kristen. I went at got the orders to report to Fort Ord, California, on a given day. And what they did was to give us what they termed the delay en route. Mm-hmm. So I made the circle. Well, I got on the train and went to Casper, Wyoming. And then I got a bus to Billings. And of course, this was all established as the time. And then I came home and then went back to the train again. And heard it was going to be before we. And then, knowing where the ship was going, I was in Fort Ord, I think, for a little over 2 weeks. Well, originally, I was sent to, I guess, it wasn't a post as such, but I went and they assigned me to a ship, mm-hmm, with some other guys for over a month. I was going. And what one was going to, I was trying to navigate as best I could by the sun and the stars, and they, because they weren't telling us a thing. But we ended up down in Hollandia, New Guinea. We didn't know that. And then from Hollandia, we went to the island of Luzon. Not on occasion, but right after the, I was assigned exactly what my, yes, but they were going to put me where they needed me. Mm-hmm. And I ended up then going into Company C of the 145 Infantry, the 37th. Well, it was a guessing game. As far as expectations, I didn't know what to think. I did know that we were, it had been an invasion, that we were invading and taking the island back. Mm-hmm. And as far as how it was going to be done or anything like that, I wasn't privy to that information. All I did was just go where they told me to. There wasn't any to begin with. The natives, the Japs had by and large used those natives pretty badly. And the natives were avoiding our military just about the same way they did the Japs, not knowing what to expect, I think. That's my story. We didn't hardly see any of the natives until I finally got firmly established with this company that I was with. And the natives were there as laundry. Well, I actually didn't have any strong feeling about them. They were, I guess my first thought was, I'm not very big, and I felt like a giant. Because I was bigger than most of them, mm-hmm, taller than most of them. And that was about as much as I could see. They, of course, they've been browbeaten so bad for the interim time that they pulled over there that they didn't, later on, I got acquainted with some of the older Filipinos that had been there long enough to hunger people that we were dealing with initially had been deprived of an education, pretty much. Well, they were buried, really. It was, you see, what the Japs didn't destroy, we did. So it was beat to hell. Natives, by and large, lived in these little bamboo huts, and he got a living either by fishing or from the sense of rice. And then they tried to grow some vegetables. But to give you a little example as to what, how bad it was for them, one of the places that we originally set up when I joined the outfit, Shed, we had built from before the war. And it was an experiment station similar to what we have here, an agricultural experiment. Yeah. Had eaten every crop. It wasn't.